Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The scripture lessons are from Psalm 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Today's message is titled, The Foolishness That Saves. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keep his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocents. He who does these things will never be shaken. Here ends the psalm. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise man, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here ends our lesson, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. The word this morning is a word of foolishness by the measure of the world. The word this morning for you can either be a word of foolishness, or this word for you can be the very word you need to hear to be saved and experience the power of God. This absurdity will save your soul if you listen. Truly listen. What will this word this morning be for you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Let me tell you of a man that was crucified on a cross, and on the third day rose from the dead. Yes, that is what I proclaim. There is a man, only one man in all of human history, who was crucified, dead, laid in the tomb. And on the third day he rose from the dead, very much alive, with skin and bones, with flesh, and hungry. Hunger too was in him, for it is said he ate some broiled fish with his followers, just to show how very much alive, very much skin and bone, human being, alive before him. Dead, and on the third day rose from the dead. This is the truth. Sounds like foolishness. It is the truth. Just as unimaginable is the man who in disobedience went in the exact opposite direction than the one he was told to go. That man ended up being thrown overboard from a ship about to sink in a storm, and a big fish swallowed him. 3 days later, that big fish spit that man out up onto the sands of the shore near Nineveh. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Jumping down to Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited a Jonah onto dry land. Yet, this foolishness from Jonah, this absurdity, is the exact sign Jesus said would be given. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. Jesus answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now, one greater than Jonah is here. One greater than Jonah. Imagine that. The one who said what seems to be foolishness, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, meek, hunger, thirst, persecuted, insulted, all kinds of evil said against you, you're blessed. Indeed, so blessed you are to rejoice. Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. From the standpoint of this world, it's foolishness. All of this is foolishness. And we are to believe that this foolishness will actually bring about new life. Yes, precisely. This foolishness will bring new life to you. Do you want to be free from your burden of sin? Free from your burden of guilt? Free from your burden of shame? Do you want to leave your past life behind and all those things you've done behind you? And wake up a new person? A brand new person? There is a way. The only way. And that is to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe the crucified and risen one is Lord. Billy Graham once said, "In the cross of Christ, I see three things. First, a description of the depth of man's sin. Second, the overwhelming love of God. Third, the only way of salvation." Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Psalm 15 this morning, the Psalm of David, it begins with a question. Psalm 15, verse 1, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill?" Immediately, David answers the question in the light of God's truth. Psalm 15, verse 2, He whose walk is blameless, and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart. Is your walk blameless? Is your life filled with righteousness? Do you always speak the truth from your heart? My walk is not always blameless, nor is my life filled with righteousness. The older I get, the more and more I recognize the reality of the depth of my sin. I am a sinner. As Billy Graham says, when he looks at the cross, he sees the depth of man's sin. I found this description in a book of quotes I have about the cross. At Calvary, we see what sin deserves and what God requires. Calvary was too terrible to be optional. The suffering involved too enormous to be unnecessary. And the sufferer too precious to his Father to have been given over needlessly to such pain. Martin Luther's words here is, "It pleased God to make Christ the perfect author of salvation, and he used suffering as a way to fulfill the work." Christ, the perfect author of salvation, and God used suffering as a way to fulfill this work. Luther also said, "Jesus became the greatest liar, perjurer, thief, adulterer, and murderer that mankind has ever known. Not because he committed these things, Not because he committed these sins, but because he was actually made sin for us. I'm going to say that again because I stumbled, but I want you to listen. Jesus became the greatest liar, perjurer, thief, adulterer, and murderer that mankind has ever known. Not because he committed these sins, but because he was actually made sin for us. The cross shows the depth of our sin. Yet we live in times that man believes man is naturally and innately good. We live in times that man is good. I mean, pull up the latest fad that's being taught in schools. It's known as social and emotional learning. This is from the website EQ for Children, and it's a blog post from Karen Stone, November 16, 2020, titled, "What is innate goodness and valuing it?" This question is found in her blog. If we are born with innate goodness, how does the opposite exist? Isn't that a great question? It's one that has challenged me for the longest time until I learned more about the human experience. The human experience is a journey of choices. We are equipped with a cognitive brain and an emotional brain. The two work together to help us choose and evolve into human beings with feelings of worth and purpose. Therefore, it is necessary to have the duality of choice. However, duality of choice presents us with choices that trigger feelings, and unless we manage those feelings that disappoint, discourage, and depress us, our innate goodness becomes compromised. From childhood on, we are choosing what we see and feel from our adult mentors. Our adult mentors passed on the compromised feelings, and most children will choose as their mentors do. Notice it blames the adult for passing on compromised feelings. But if you really listen to what she said, you'll find out it's a non-answer. I ask you, if we have innate goodness, who taught the two-year-old to throw a temper tantrum? Was it you as an adult saying, "Hey, two-year-old, do this, and get whatever you want"? Who taught the two-year-old the temper tantrum if there's innate goodness? She blames the adults for passing on the compromised feelings. And basically, it's a non-answer. Adults make bad choices, so the children will make bad choices. Notice it doesn't answer why bad choices are made in the first place. If human beings are truly innately good, where do the bad choices come from? Her solution, written in the blog, "Awareness of our innate goodness is a step in the right direction. Since this is a critical piece of information, you then can begin to assess its value and how you express it in your everyday life. Please value whatever goodness you feel and express. Additionally, monitor your feelings whenever you experience that goodness. It is still there even though your choices may have compromised it. Share your goodness with your children and family. Experience your children's goodness and value it. Encourage it and have them express it. Hope in a better tomorrow lies in our valuing, owning, and sharing our goodness." Now contrast that with the Augsburg Confession of the Church. Article 2, Original Sin. "It is also taught among us that since the fall of Adam, all men who are born according to the course of nature are conceived and born in sin. That is, all men are full of evil lust and inclinations from their mother's womb and are unable by nature to have true fear of God and true faith in God. Moreover, this inborn sickness and hereditary sin is truly sin and condemns to the eternal wrath of God all those who are not born again through baptism and the Holy Spirit. Rejecting this, our connections are the Pelagians and others who deny that original sin is sin, for they hold that natural man is made righteous by his own powers, thus disparaging the sufferings and merits of Christ. Pelagians taught that man is not sinful by nature and can be saved by own act of his will." And the Pelagians added the caveat, "aided by God's grace." Today's social and emotional learning being taught in schools at its basics is the 5th century Pelagian's position minus the added by God's grace of the Pelagians. No, you find the good in you and you do the good in you with your own ability. How has this played out? Has behavior become better? Is innate goodness in the individual power to live it out? Or brokenness and the inability to overcome that brokenness seen more and more? Awareness of our goodness or awareness of our brokenness? Which is it? AA shows that recovery begins with admitting one is broken and one is powerless over alcohol. They recognize that the human reality is we are powerless. Next, AA believes that a power greater than oneself is needed than the decision to turn one's will and one's life over to the care of God. Deny the fall of man as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Reject this original sin in us, and the cross becomes irrelevant. And not soon after, from irrelevant to despised and hated. Proclaim innate goodness is in everyone. Selfishness will rise. Empathy will fall. And the true nature of evil in the world will grow. Man will become the center of it all. And man will be the all in all. We are smart enough. We have the ability in ourselves. We can bring utopia by our own ability. But isn't it strange? All those grand designs of utopia end up being utopia for a few and dystopia for the masses. Recently at the Davos meeting of the World Economic Forum, this was said. Yes, said. It's on tape. You can watch it yourself. When you start to think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. John Kerry said this, "True human nature on full display, select group of human beings. The arrogance here is evil and filled with lust to control the world." That is what was on display at Davos, and that is the true intention of the World Economic Forum. Not many noticed, but this is demonstrating that truly humanity by nature is sinful and need of redeeming. Martin Luther wrote, "No man understands the scripture unless he be acquainted with the cross." No man understands scripture unless he be acquainted with the cross. Luther also writes, and this I agree with too, "The cross alone is our theology. It is the cross that helps us understand who we are. It is the cross that helps us understand the greatness of God's love for us. The cross of Christ, the old rugged cross, the place where Christ paid the redeeming price in full. The cross where the true nature of humanity is fully exposed as sinful, full of evil inclinations and lust, and the greatness of the love of the Father for us is displayed too." John chapter 19, verse 30. "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." It is finished is one word in Greek. It's tetelestai. Tetelestai. Tetelestai means to finish, to fulfill, to accomplish, and it also means to pay in full. The word is used in economic terms too, paid in full. When Jesus gave up his breath and died, tetelestai, the work was accomplished. The will of the Father was fulfilled. The redeeming price was paid in full. And that word tetelestai was spoken from Jesus, nailed to the cross as he died. Christ on the cross has done for us what we could never do ourselves. Redemption, salvation is ours in Christ. And it's ours in Christ because it's for Christ's sake. Augsburg Confession, Article 4, Justification. It is also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merit, works, or satisfaction, but receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith. When we believe that Christ suffered for us and for our sake, and that for his sake our sin is forgiven, and righteousness and eternal life were given to us. For God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness. As Paul says in Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, and Romans 4, verse 5. Have you lived long enough to know, to realize, you just don't have it in yourself? You just can't get by anymore by your own strength or your own ability? And that nagging feeling, there must be more, must be something, must be someone outside yourself who is greater than you. Have you felt that? You just can't buy, do it. Well, that longing you're feeling is your longing for Christ and the power of the cross. Embrace the message of this word of the cross, and the power of God will save you. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, preached Christ crucified. He proclaimed the message of the cross. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The very first day the gospel was proclaimed, the cross and Christ crucified was proclaimed. The people who heard Peter proclaim the cross and Christ crucified, they responded with, "What shall we do?" Acts 2, beginning at verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Believe the message of the cross. Repent and be baptized and rejoice. And rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. All who are being saved by the power of God. It's all by grace. All by grace. For Christ's sake. Christ died on the cross. Christ crucified. Christ rose. It's the power of God to save. And it's a free gift to you. Believe this foolishness. And you will be saved. Repent and be baptized. And you will have the forgiveness of sins. You will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will have eternal life. And then you will know how to rejoice, because you will know how great your reward in heaven truly is. Amen. Amen.